Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yeah!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot, and the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. It's a Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Glad you're with us today. Don't forget we do this each weekday at 11 a.m. right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Most days you can catch a replay at 3 o'clock. We're always podcasted later in the afternoon on SoundCloud and Apple iTunes, or I should say Apple Podcasts, both apps. You can find us on there. Plenty of ways to catch up with us. You're not going to want to miss things with basketball season getting underway. We will have you covered wall to wall with all things basketball from Indiana to the local high school scene, recruiting, and everything in between coming up. I tell you what, it's not work doing this show, especially when basketball season gets here. So many topics, so many great guests we can have on. Make sure that you make us part of your daily routine, whether it's live on the radio or whether it's recorded on a podcast. We'd love to have you with us each day here on the Hoosier Report. Let's take a look at the guest lineup for this Tuesday show. Joining us in segment one, we'll have our Hoosier headlines, our news of the day presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Most of our headlines, most of our discussion points today in this first segment will come from the Archie Miller radio show, which, by the way, the first of many weeks of that show aired last night right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Lots of interesting things. Archie Miller, when he speaks, especially the first couple weeks of his coach's show, you listen. And I've talked about this before because he doesn't have a lot to say. He doesn't call press conferences on a regular basis. In the season, obviously, you get the chance to hear from him more often on his radio show after games in situations like that. But we haven't heard much from him. We had one media availability in the offseason where he was there for a number of questions and spoke about a number of topics. But his first radio show last night, covering a lot of ground, talking about some players and their health status, talking about Deron Davis and when his return is expected. He shared a lot of information, or a reasonable amount of information, about the closed scrimmage that took place on Sunday at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. So a lot of things we talk about in the headlines will come from the Archie Miller show, which, by the way, you can catch each week, each Monday night, right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Segment number two, Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, sports columnist for the Star, will join me, presented by Coffee Crossing. With Greg, we're going to talk IU football. Really an interesting situation that this team, this program, has found themselves in. They've got a bye week, a chance to get prepared for the final three games of the regular season. Maryland at Michigan and then Purdue. Going to be real tough, I think, for this team to become bowl eligible, but we'll see what happens. Greg will get his opinion on that. We'll also talk IU basketball, see what Greg's heard about the closed scrimmage, talk a little bit about what to expect this week, and I know that we'll talk some Romeo Langford as well today when Greg joins us. Greg, each week, is presented by Coffee Crossing. That's in segment two. Then later in the show, Greg Mengelt, sports editor of the News and Tribune, he will be with me. We've got Providence alive in high school football. We've got Christian Academy headed back to the volleyball state championship on Saturday in Muncie. We've got high school basketball girls really getting underway this week with scrimmages and games. And, of course, the boys' season, official tryouts, first practices, whatever you want to call them, they begin next Monday, this coming Monday, less than a week to the start of the boys' season as well. By Thanksgiving, we're into the boys' season with a lot of games starting that week of Thanksgiving, even on Monday night. So a lot of things coming up. Thursday night, IU scrimmage. It's going to be fun as well. But we'll cover those topics and more with Greg Mengelt later in the program today. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. I mentioned a lot of things last night worth recapping, worth discussing on today's program from the Archie Miller, his weekly radio show, which airs Monday nights from the Holiday Inn in Bloomington. First off, he said, Coach Miller said, Devontae Green and Race Thompson are both dealing with what he called, quote, nagging injuries, and they did not play in Sunday's scrimmage, closed scrimmage against Loyola of Chicago. Also, he mentioned Deron Davis. He's been given a full clearance to begin 5-on-5 practicing. He went on to say that he thinks by December, by Christmas, late December, that's a reasonable goal for him to be feeling better and be back to a normal strength. He also covered a lot of ground, talked about the leadership of DeJuan Morgan and Zach McRoberts. He had some very interesting things to talk about with Robert Fennessy coming in as a player that might be prepared to contribute in his opening season. Also, he was able to go through the scrimmage a little bit. He didn't give stats or details or things like that, but he did say that the team had 11 steals in its scrimmage game, a closed scrimmage on Sunday, which I think is pretty close to a season high for last season. I think it was 12 a year ago. He also said multiple times he was very impressed with the defense that was brought forth in Sunday's scrimmage. He mentioned that Indiana, he thought, would not be focused on being a three-point shooting team. It might be something that happens and comes about, but not near as focused on that part of the game as maybe the team has been in past years. Just a lot of different things covered from Coach Miller in the coaching show yesterday that really gets your mind turning when you think about this roster and this team and all the different combinations and so many players. This is another topic he covered. So many players in the offseason that with their development program improved in the gym with their weight, with their strength, with their conditioning for this coming season. Also, he covered Tuesday's practice. Indiana holds the practice on, will hold a practice on Tuesday for students. Talked about the depth of the team. A lot of good things from Archie Miller in his first radio show. And again, first show of the year, always big. First couple weeks, every week it's interesting to listen to, but when you get to hear from a guy like Archie Miller who doesn't always have a ton to say about things, even after games, he's pretty much, you ask him a question, he gives you a brief answer, that's pretty much it. It's interesting to hear him when you got him for a full hour with Don Fisher, who does a great job hosting the show and getting Coach Miller to speak on a number of different topics. But probably the most interesting thing from last night that you can take away is his excitement, at least to me, his excitement on the defensive end of the floor for this team in the scrimmage game. It's been an area of concern for a number of seasons now for IU basketball, and the fact that they were able to put some space between them and Loyola Chicago in the scrimmage, a team that's coming off of a Final Four, a team, I looked this up as well, they're projected to be at the top of their conference. I know it's a mid-major school, but obviously they made a trip to the Final Four. Some of those players returned, but not all. And to do that in an opening scrimmage, first scrimmage out, pretty impressive news, pretty impressive information, and it sure makes you ready to see what happens Thursday night when Indiana takes on the University of Southern Indiana in their first scrimmage, in their only scrimmage of the open scrimmage of the 2018 season, 19 season before they start non-conference games. Other things, Romeo Langford was named to the third team preseason All-American team by Jeff Brazello and the crew at ESPN.com. They write about Romeo, quote, Hoosier Nation was ecstatic when Langford decided to stay home for college, and Archie Miller will count on him from day one. He's a big-time scorer who won Indiana Mr. Basketball honors as a senior after averaging 35.5 points per game. So nothing new there. Another preseason accolade, if you even want to call it that, for Romeo Langford being recognized as one of the top, not just freshmen in college basketball, but one of the top expected players in college basketball for the upcoming season as well. Also, another note, I mentioned Providence is still alive in high school football. They take on an undefeated Paoli team on Friday. We'll have that game here on the Big X Sports Radio as our headline game for Kentuckiana Football Friday's coverage coming your way Friday night. And volleyball, of three teams in the semi-state, I covered this yesterday, but of three teams in the semi-state, one makes it to the state championship, Christian Academy in 2A. Of course, they're a 1A school playing up in 2A based on the success that they've had in the sport of volleyball. I knew it had been a lot. I knew they had been there multiple times. They've been there 5 years in a row. Christian Academy volleyball has been in a state championship game. Started back in 1A. Now they've moved up to 2A the last couple seasons. They've only won one. They've only been able to bring one of those four played in so far state championships back to Southern Indiana. They got a great opportunity, from what I understand, this weekend to win their second state championship against a very good North Judson volleyball team from the northern part of the state. But amazing, five straight state final appearances. Providence has done some great things, obviously, as well. But getting to a state championship game, whether you win it or not, for five straight seasons in any sport, that takes a lot of luck, it takes a lot of skill, it takes a lot of success. That's a pretty impressive accomplishment for Christian Academy of Indiana Volleyball. That's a look at the headlines presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights, live bands on Saturday nights. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, where fun happens. We'll head out to a break. We'll come back with Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing, IU football, IU basketball, Romeo Langford, and much more coming up with Greg after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Tuesday program. Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star with us, presented by Coffee Crossing. Now that schools are back in session, stop by for coffee on your way to drop the kids off, or come stay a while once they are safely at their desk. Either way, let Coffee Crossing brighten your day. Greg, a lot to get to. IU football, another bad loss Friday on the road at Minnesota. IU basketball had a closed scrimmage on Sunday, gearing up for their first open exhibition game later this week. It's that crossover time of year.
Yeah, it's time when it's really, really busy. If you talk about sports or write about it in this state, it's the best time of year, honestly. We got everything. I mean, we have everything but the 500 that our state really leans on is right now, because we don't have Major League Baseball. So this is all it, Pacers, Colts included. By the way, that intro, who was that? Because I couldn't hear very well. It wasn't Bob Knight. Who was it?
I've got to be honest with you. I wasn't even paying attention. We've got a different producer today, so we're a little out of order in our rejoins. But I'm clueless, to be honest with you. How's that?
No, I'm glad. Whoever it was, it wasn't Knight.
I'm happy about that. I'm told it's Hoosiers. Hoosiers from a clip from the movie Hoosiers, I'm told. So.
Okay, great. Well, I'm happy about that for two reasons. One is, I was in Boise when Bob Knight pitched that fit 30 years ago. I was there. I don't know if I told you this, but I was I was FIU, Florida International, entered the TAC conference tournament that year, 8-18. They won it, so they go to Boise. They played. UCLA won the whole thing that year. UCLA was the one seed. FIU went up there and got crushed, but IU was there playing somebody. And that's where Knight did his thing, and so I don't like it for that reason. But also, you know, this is—I know we're on here mainly talking about IU stuff, and that's great. And I'm always—I always find it weird that you guys introduce me with a Purdue guy.
Absolutely, absolutely, Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, our guest. Greg, let's start with IU football Friday at Minnesota. It's a game that IU, I think, had to win in their quest for bowl eligibility. It gets scary because they have a bye week, then they take on Maryland, which, again, that should be a game Indiana can win, but we've said that about some others as well. Then they play at Michigan. That's going to be tough. And Purdue, kind of a wild card. Purdue played great against Ohio State. Not so great this past weekend. Not sure what to expect in that final game of the season for both teams. But Indiana, I think, is on really thin ice as far as getting its six wins, getting two six wins this year.
Yeah, are they at 4-5 right now?
4-5.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. They're not winning. They're not winning two of those three, and I wouldn't be surprised. At this point, frankly, I think one would surprise me more than anything. Three, winning all three would stun me. But I think one, they're not beating Michigan. Let's just go there right away. Michigan is right now playing its way into the college football playoff conversation. They're not there yet, but they went from, holy cow, they can't beat Notre Dame. Harbaugh can't ever win a big game. Harbaugh's going to get fired, isn't he? They're now, the poll comes out today, and they're going to be in the top 7 or 8. So they're not beating Michigan. I find it hard to believe they're beating Purdue. And Maryland is, the time to catch Maryland was 2 months ago when all the turmoil was going on. They still don't have their head coach, but their footing has been found a little bit. So, they're not going bowling this year is my point. They're not getting there.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, a guest presented by Coffee Crossing. I mentioned this or talked to Zach yesterday, Zach Osterman, about this when he was with us. But if Indiana doesn't get to its sixth victory this year, and I agree with you, it's going to be really tough for them to do so. If they don't get to their sixth victory this year, let's say that things stall out at 4 or 5 wins for the season. You've got Purdue making some momentum on the recruiting trail as well. How concerning should this be, a non-bowl season for Indiana, if that's what it ends up being for Coach Allen and for IU football fans?
Well, it's interesting that that's kind of the cutoff now, because about 4 years ago, IU never went to bowls, ever, it seemed like it. So all of a sudden now, holy cow, they're not in a bowl. So that's a credit, really, to Kevin Wilson, I guess, for getting IU to this point. You have momentum going up or it's going down, or it's stagnant. Two of those three are not good choices. And, if IU wins 5 games this year, that's stagnant at best and maybe going down a little bit. And your rival is heading up with a rocket ship. On the bright side for IU fans and IU, and not for me as a sports writer and as a guy who happens to like him, on the bright side for everybody else, though, I don't know how much longer Brom's going to stay. And I Lord knows I'm not chasing him out of here. If he wants to retire here in 25 years, that'd be great. But he's going to get money whipped by somebody, and Louisville might make a change. And, there's all kinds of reasons to think that as noble and honorable man as he is, and you can be noble and honorable and still leave. You can leave jobs and still not be a horrible human being. But wouldn't be surprised if he's not much longer for Purdue. Having said that, IU is in a spot now where they're recruiting better. I mean, they've got better recruits than they've had. Their star running back is a freshman. Their top two quarterbacks are a sophomore and a freshman. The receiving core is not old. They're in a fairly good spot. The question is, can they X and O their way and, I guess, motivate, get their guys ready to play their way up another step or two in the Big Ten? And can they do that, especially if Purdue doesn't lose Brom and continues to make inroads in the state recruiting? So, I mean, IU's a tough spot. Now, this is not the Cleveland Browns. They're not firing their coach after 2 years and 6 games. So Tom Allen's here. Question is he the right guy to get them there 2 or 3 years from now? And unlike a lot of times when you hire a coach and you kind of know after a year or after 2 years, I mean, I keep bringing them up, but like Purdue, we know they've got the right guy. If he stays, they're fine. We still don't know with IU. And in a way, that's almost like saying they don't have him, because I think I'm not saying he can't get it done. But this is not me saying Tom Allen's wrong for IU, but this is me saying if we don't know he's right by now, that's not a good sign.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, let's switch gears and talk some basketball. IU has its first open exhibition game coming up Thursday night. We knew coming out of the weekend, and I again talked with Zach on Monday about the closed scrimmage at Bankers Life. There were some unofficial, very unofficial reports and social media postings that said Indiana won. They won handily. They played well. Jawan Morgan was unbelievable. Romeo Langford was good. Justin Smith was good. There were some buzz out there about what happened Sunday. Last night, the first Archie Miller radio show of the season, he confirmed some of those good things. He didn't go into any details on points or stats or anything like that, but generally discuss some of the things he was really pleased with. And by all accounts, from the rumors that are out there that Zach and I talked about yesterday on the show and from what Coach Miller had to say last night. By the way, I just got a notification on my phone. Archie Miller is 40 today. I knew he was young. I had no idea he was that young. But with all that said, it sounds like it was a good start in a closed exhibition game where they could really dig in and work on different defenses and different phases of the game in a very workmanlike atmosphere. And I think hearing some of those things, fans getting little bits and pieces from here and there, are as excited as can be for Thursday night. We've talked about the uptick with IU basketball and the fan interest, and I think hearing some of those details, and those are all, nothing was a surprise that we heard, but those sure have things, everyone excited for Thursday night.
Yeah, that kind of confirms, or the as much as a rumor can, confirms what we already know about IU, is that they're going to be pretty good, and those three guys you mentioned specifically are going to be really good. I mean, Justin Smith really intrigues me because he came on so strong second half of last season, and I mean, he's going to be really good. Thing is that he's at best, and maybe not even third fiddle on this team, but he might be, but at best third fiddle. So whatever he's going to be at IU, we're not going to see it this year. You know, he's just not going to get, to use an analytics term, he's just not going to get the usage rate to show whatever it is he can do long term. But if he's your third best player, and he might not even be that, he might be fourth or fifth. That's really good. I'm talking to a Colts writer yesterday, and he's got a name that most people that follow the Colts would know his name, and so I'm not going to do this to him, and he didn't say anything bad at all. But what he was saying, it just kind of goes to show that as much as we know Romeo and know about him and just kind of know who he is and what he is, the rest of the country, the state even, a lot of them anyway, are still going to find out. Like, they don't know, because this guy covers the Colts and has done a lot more than that in the last several years, and he didn't know. He said to me, I'll be curious to see how Romeo handles prosperity. And I said, you don't think what happened at New Albany was prosperity enough to know, you know, how he's going to handle this? And he said, well, it's different. You're at IU, and you're the state school, and you're the savior and all that stuff. And on the surface, that makes sense. On the surface, it does. But Romeo's not normal. Nothing about Romeo's high school was normal. Nothing about how he handled what wasn't normal was normal. So anyway, I think it's what's neat, even for me, is just a writer, not a guy from New Albany, so I can't claim him as mine, although I've written about him so much, I kind of feel ownership a little bit of him. I really like the fact that there are people, and again, this is a relatively informed person, that don't know what Romeo is all about. And so I know you're talking about on-the-court stuff, but I'm just excited that folks are, I mean, because the discovery of what Romeo is, and I'm sorry to go on about this, but the discovery about what he is, and I'm not talking about basketball at all, I'm talking about everything else, is just such a great discovery. It, like, makes you feel good about the world. It's like watching a good TV show with a happy ending. Like, oh, wow, I want to cry now because Hallmark movie is so cool. Romeo is he's a future NBA star, but he's also a Hallmark movie, and I think a lot of folks are going to find that out, and that's great.
Yeah, and again, you're never expanding too much about Romeo on this program, obviously, with the coverage that we have given him and hope to continue to give him, but that is what you bring up. You know, I think people in many ways have come to expect, and that's what, as someone that has gotten to know Romeo and has followed his story from a couple different aspects as closely as I have, you obviously, you know, you want to see him succeed, and you know he's going to. You know he's going to be an NBA lottery pick. You know he's going to have a good season at Indiana. But I do get a little concerned about some people's expectations that, you know, he's going to walk in and score the same amount of points per game as he scored, you know, in high school, his senior year at New Albany. And you and I know, most informed sports fans know, that the Big Ten Conference, as a freshman, even if you are a projected lottery pick to go in and score those type of points, it doesn't happen. I mean, it really doesn't happen. So that's the concern there. And again, as other people on a statewide level or beyond get to know Romeo off the court, once he does have some big games and really finds his way into the elite players of college basketball, as he's projected to do, when they find those off-the-court stories about him, it just makes him even more respected and more appreciated. And exactly what you said, it's almost like a feel-good part of a movie.
When I talk to high school classes and even college classes too, at some point I try to get around to saying this. I tell them, because I'm trying to, these are all writers or future writers, or they think about being writers, or in high school maybe it's an English class, but at the very least they're kids with something in front of them. And so what I tell them is that, you know, whether you're a good writer or you're good, whatever you're good at, listen, everybody in this room is good at something. And some of you guys in this room, you're as good at that thing as anybody in this whole building, and you know it. And I said, the world at this point, wherever you are in that continuum, whether you're just good at something or great at something, if you know it, everybody else knows it. And the one thing you can do now is screw it up by letting everybody else know that you're proud of yourself. The most powerful statement a person can make in this world is to be really good at something and to act like they have no idea, or they know but they don't care. That's powerful. And that's what Romeo is. You know, that's what he's as good as he is, and he's not an idiot. He's got to know he's that good, but he doesn't show it, and he doesn't act like it, and doesn't capitalize on it by, let me have some swag here just because I've earned this swag because I'm 17 and a Parade All-American. He doesn't do that stuff, so that's great to watch. By the way, as you're talking about the expectations on Romeo, I can't really put my finger on why I think this, maybe I'm not sure I do think this, but this has been kind of gnawing at me in the back of my head, and only now do I actually understand what's been gnawing at me. I actually, right now, I'm about to say something that I've been thinking about this, but it hadn't, like, come to form until now. I'm not sure, I hate making predictions, and I don't want to be wrong about this. I think Romeo is going to average more points a game as an NBA rookie than he does as an IU freshman.
Wow.
Maybe. I say maybe, but because of two things. One is he's going to play in a very structured environment at IU with a lot of, I mean, his ceiling is so much higher than everybody else's at IU. We all know that. And even coming in right now, he's better than probably all of them, although John Morgan, you know, is a really good, I mean, a great college player. Romeo hasn't proven he's that yet. And I'm not sure he's going to stick around college long enough to ever be that. I'm kind of stumbling all over this, but I feel like, I mean, he's going to be good in college. He's going to, if I had to guess, I guess my thing is, I think he's going to score, if I had to guess, 12 to 15 a game in that range, which might surprise some people. They might expect me, as much as I gush over him, to say 25, but you don't do that much in college. You don't really
exactly.
Do that. Right, and you don't do that much at that position, and you don't do that as a freshman. You don't do that when you join a team that doesn't need you to do that. Like, he's not Kevin Durant at Texas, where you better score 30 because no one else can.
Exactly.
Right, so he's, and frankly, Romeo's not the kind of guy to go hunting a shot. As much as he scored in high school, he could have scored a lot more, and we all know that. So I just don't know. I think that's going to be a shock, might be for some people, strong word, but people are going to be surprised that he's not going to come in scoring 25 a game because he doesn't need to, doesn't have to, and might not be ready to, but he's going to get to the NBA where it's wide open. And he's probably going to join a team that won 24 games, and he's going to get his usage rate is going to be out of the roof, and he's going to play 38 minutes. He's going to score 24 games as an NBA rookie. That's what I think is going to happen.
Hey, I'll tell you one thing. I've heard from different people around NBA teams, some of those teams that think they may have a low pick or, one through whatever, that where Romeo's being projected, they're doing, and I've mentioned this some previous on the show, they're doing all kinds of research on him, background stuff, and I'm sure they're doing it for many, many players in college basketball and even high school seniors now with some rule changes. But I don't think there's any question there's some absolute truth, and others see exactly the potential for what you just predicted.
Well, I love the idea of a background check on Romeo. Like, everybody listening to the show, we're all laughing at that. Like, that's the shortest check of all time. Call anybody. Just whatever the first three, you know, the area code and the first three digits are in New Albany, just dial those numbers, and then just pick four numbers. Just where the last four numbers are. Someone's going to answer. Ask them, what do you think about Romeo? That's all you need to know. I mean, you don't background check. Hell, we'll be done in 30 seconds. Have them call me. I mean, that's great. I love that.
I'll be honest, and I haven't said this on air, but I did have a call a few weeks ago from one of these NBA teams, one of their scouts. And, you know him from a media perspective. You know him from a New Albany perspective on and off the court there. And would you answer a few questions? Absolutely. And I just told the guy up front, I said, hey, you know, obviously you're going to ask me off the court stuff, I'm sure. But if I knew something bad, I'd tell you to make him seem more normal, more realistic. But I don't have anything bad to say, and I was around him a lot.
That is the problem. New Albany, he's like something out of Mayberry. Like Andy Griffith was, you know, driving the school bus he went to school in or something. He's unbelievable. But also he's a monster athlete too, which is why it's so cool. But I can see, when I said earlier that he might average 12 to 14 a game, I mean, he is so naturally gifted. Would it just stun me if he averaged 25. I mean, it would surprise me, but not because he can't do it, but just because that just doesn't happen very much, and I hope the folks kind of get that their brain wrapped. I mean, he's not Trae Young, I guess is my point. He's not going to come in and shoot 38 times a game. He's not going to do that.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, I know you got to go. There's one quick thing I want to say to you, getting away from sports for just a minute here. But yeah, the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've talked a lot about Tyler Trent on this program. I think some people knew who he was because they read your columns all the time. I think some people, maybe the first time we brought his name up on this program, had to go read your column or had to look up exactly who the young man is. But in addition to your chats about him, very heartfelt chats, I want to say, about him on this program, he's had some other coverage. He was on Game Day a few weekends ago. I have had, and a lot of people come up to me, which makes me feel good about the show and makes me know that this segment is very worthy. And I think that everybody that listens know that. But people always come up and say, hey, I heard Greg. Greg said this. Greg's crazy. Greg's funny. Greg loves Romeo, whatever the comment is. So I know they're listening to this show and this segment. But I've had more people come up and really compliment and discuss and mention your columns and mention how emotional and heartfelt you were about this young man and what he's going through in life on the radio. And again, if you don't know, you can read Greg's columns. He's had a couple on him over the course of the last, I don't know, couple months maybe. But I just wanted to bring that up. People recognize that. People appreciate that. It's been mentioned to me way down here in IU country and U of L country as opposed to Purdue country here in southern Indiana. But people have really enjoyed and are heartfelt about that situation. And I thank you for bringing more sometime than just the normal sports and the normal topics that I might think to ask you to the program.
Well, thank you for bringing Tyler up again, for saying that. I'll be brief. I feel like we're going long, but there's something about this important. Two things. One is Tyler's spreading so far. He was on the Scott Van Pelt show last week on ESPN.
Wow.
I mean, at midnight. I mean, they had a camera at his house. I'm sure they taped the interview earlier, but I don't know if everybody saw that, anybody saw that. But I mean, he was on Scott Van Pelt's show, and that was Van Pelt's idea. And Scott and I were DMing back and forth and afterwards, and I was thanking him, like, thank you for doing that for Romeo. I'm sorry, for Tyler. And he said he's never been so nervous because he thought he was going to cry. Scott did, you know, talking to Tyler. But the reason I got somewhere to go, as you said, is I'm bringing Tyler lunch today. And every time I go see him, I guess, you know, I mean, he's not listening right now, so I don't know if it's going to be the last time, you know. Anyway, so I'm going to go. He's funny. He's funny. His pleasure in life right now is he loves eating and drinking. So he likes hot chocolate, and he likes burgers, and so there's a burger place near his house, and so anyway, that's going to be fun to bring him something to eat. And thank you for bringing him up and for making me do this again. Three weeks in a row, I'll be crying on your show. We'll see if we can make it four next time.
All right, Greg. As always, appreciate it. Enjoy your lunch, and we'll talk with you again next week.
All right, Matt. Thanks.
Greg Doyle, presented by Coffee Crossing, each Tuesday here on the Hoosier Report. We'll be back with more after this on the Big X Sports Radio.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt Daly at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Back for a final segment here on this Tuesday program. Mike Pegram of Peaks.com is with me. I think at the top of the show I said Greg Mengelt of the News and Tribune would be with us to talk Southern Indiana sports headlines. I was a day early. We'll have him Wednesdays as always. Sometimes I don't know what I'm thinking. Mike, glad to have you. Glad to have you with us today to talk IU basketball. A lot of excitement in the air, gearing up for the first open scrimmage on Wednesday. But I want to start first with what happened at Bankers Life Sunday, a closed scrimmage. By all accounts, if you piece together the different social media postings and tidbits, and I know there were some rumors from behind the scenes that are out there. If you put all that together, it sounds like a pretty good IU performance. Some things that, for what it is, a closed scrimmage with some structure to it, a good start for this IU team.
Yeah, it sounded good. Just listening to Archie on his radio show yesterday, he seemed pleasantly surprised with the defense that was played to hold a, you know, a Loyola team that went to the Final Four a year ago. And they have some losses, but it's not, they have not been devastated by any means. To hold them to 48 points, which was apparently the score, 70-48, I believe, that's a really good sign about where this team might be defensively. And we've talked about how they're longer and more athletic, led by, you know, Juwan Romeo and Justin Smith. That's what we've heard, you know, kind of played itself out in that private scrimmage.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, our guest. Of all things for Archie Miller to highlight, and he didn't give a ton of details about what happened Sunday, but he gave enough on his radio show last night. For all things, for him to highlight defense and to say that he was pleased with defense, knowing that he's kind of a mild-spoken coach, doesn't always have a lot to say, also knowing that defense hasn't by any means been one of the standout areas for IU basketball in recent seasons. Very interesting to hear him praise the defense and talk about how surprised he was about the defensive performance when he had a show last night.
Yeah, I think the one guy who's fairly proven is Juwan Morgan in that regard, but we've kind of, you know, heard mixed thoughts on how, you know, Romeo has played defensively and him getting lost sometimes in some of the switches and the more complicated college level requirements of, you know, that versus where he had last year. And Justin Smith had a lot of problems last year, but Devontae Green's actually a pretty good defensive player, but he didn't even play in the scrimmage. And we've heard very good things about Robert Finnessy, who stepped in and started a point guard in front of Devontae. Archie was very effusive in his praise and saying he's, you know, way ahead of the curve, at least in terms of defense and in other aspects of where freshmen are. And so that, you know, it seems like they have the makings of a pretty good defensive team that could be a, you know, positive theme for this team to, you know, spearhead return to the tournament.
Talking IU basketball with Mike Pegram. Concerns about Devontae Green, Race Thompson. I think they were called, quote, nagging injuries by Archie last night on this radio show. Concerns about those guys missing some time or maybe not being at full strength or near full strength to start the season, especially Devontae Green. It's a guy that showed some promise last year. We know that if he can play within himself, I think it's widely thought he can really help this IU team. And then Race Thompson, a guy that already was out a year as a redshirt a year ago, but was able to practice with the team. So he comes in with a body that probably is more ready than most in their first college basketball game, their first college basketball season. And he comes in as a player that you want to see get out on the floor and finally become part of this team in the games as well. But for both of those guys, it looks like they may have a little delay in starting or at least contributing at the level that they both might be by February or after.
Yeah, Archie made it seem like we might not see them on Thursday. From what I understand, the Devontae situation is they're not sure exactly right now, and that's all I'm going to say at this point. But kind of a question mark with him, just kind of reached an issue. And Race, I don't think is serious, but he may, you know, like we said, may cause some issues. You don't want to necessarily play a guy in an exhibition game if you know, with nothing on the line, if you want him to fully recover from a nagging issue, and definitely want him to be ready for when games count next week.
Mike, one of the other things, and a lot of the stuff that we're talking about here in this segment from the Archie Miller radio show, which can be heard right here on the Big X Sports Radio each week. One of the interesting things last night was to hear Coach Miller praise Robert Finnessy, his physical strength and on the court intelligence. I think he called it a, quote, quiet competitiveness about him. He had some good things to say about Finnessy, who I think people expect behind Romeo maybe to be that next freshman or so to come in with a real chance to help this team.
Yeah, I think that one reason is because he's been really well coached, really a sharp kid. You know, his older brother is an engineering major at Purdue, and I think he's got really good grades, and He's in a really good hotbed of basketball, you know, in that Lafayette area. He's played. He's been tested. You know, he took his team to the state title game as just a sophomore. So I think he's just more further schooled in the game than a typical freshman, and that's coming through. And I also think people don't realize he's actually grown some since Indiana started recruiting him a couple inches, and he's actually physically stronger than your typical kid of his age. And those things are all adding up to somebody who's ready to play. Maybe not a big scorer, but a guy who will take care of the basketball and turn it over a lot and will guard the other team's point guard. And that's why I think that, you know, they have a pretty good combination, I think, with him and Devontae there, and they could also play together. So, you know, with Romeo and some of the other guys, and Al Durham playing really well, I'm not sure you'll see that a lot, but there's a lot of options that he has now that they didn't have a year ago.
Mike, later today, on this Tuesday, an open practice at Assembly Hall in advance of Thursday's exhibition game. I think it's great. There have been concerns about student section and student participation, even though IU obviously has a crazy environment at Assembly Hall and tickets can be at times difficult to come by. I think they will be difficult to come by this season. I think an open practice is good to get the students there. I saw they were giving them some free food, which is always a benefit to get a college student out. But I think I don't know if it's been done before in past years. I sure don't recall it. But I think it's an important step to maybe tying the student section a little closer with the players. And you're able to do that maybe in a practice environment that you won't be able to do in a game environment. Maybe this will pay little things like this, pay dividends to make that student section match the rest of Assembly Hall and the rest of the crowd at Assembly Hall, because at times, and we've had this discussion before, it's not what you think it might be at a school like Indiana.
Yeah, I think they've done something like this before, but it's been many years and obviously not under Archie Miller. And I think that's why the timing is great for the students to, you know, get that feel for what it's like in practice, and because there's a lot of optimism on this team, and they'll be able to get in there and get a taste of some of the newcomers. There's so many new guys. Again, that's why it's kind of fun, I think, for the students to get over there. I think they're giving out free pizza too. So, you know, I think they'll have pretty good attendance, and unfortunately, us media can't get in there. We're anxious for a look at the team. You know, there's no public scrimmage. There's been nothing since that 15 minutes of Hoosier hysteria. So we're all anxious to hear, and the students are going to get one of the first looks, which, again, makes it a reason for a lot of kids to come on over.
Mike, one of the most interesting comments I thought from Archie last night, in addition to his defense comment at the scrimmage on Sunday, was he said, quote, "This year's team doesn't aspire to shoot a ton of three-pointers. Indiana's three-point shooting just absolutely poor last year," the best way to say it. Hard to imagine that it could get worse than what it was, but it sounds like he has a little bit more confidence in the shooters. I'm sure some of that has to do with the addition of Evan Fitzner and, of course, Romeo as well. But interesting to hear him say that they won't shoot a lot of threes, because in past seasons it seems like they have.
Yeah, they have had a lot of guys that's their MO. I mean, James Blackman and Robert Johnson come to mind immediately. But, you know, Romeo is an exceptionally good driver. Actually, that's the best part of his game, the way he slithers in around guys. And he's obviously going to be better now that he's up to 10-plus on his strength, and he's grown to 6'6", and 6'5"-ish, and Juwan Morgan is tremendous at driving to the basket. And so that's going to be the strength of their team. Justin Smith attacks the basket exceptionally well, and so does Al Durham, I think, is underrated in that regard. So that's what I think is going to be the focus of the offense. Fitzner is a good three-point shooter and will kind of thrive off those drives and dishes. And, you know, be interesting to see. Romeo has always been the guy who likes to launch the three, but it does sound from Archie's comments that they kind of rein that in and maybe pushed him more to the drive. But I guess we'll see him. You know, if he's selective with his threes, he can hit the shot too. And you know, Finnis, he's a decent shooter. And Devontae Green had some pretty good numbers from three in parts of his career. So they have a team that, you know, like you said, won't maybe shoot as often, but maybe ends up with a higher percentage of makes.
Mike, Al Durham's name pops up an awful lot in early season discussions about this Indiana team. His name was mentioned some coming out of the closed scrimmage on Sunday. You mentioned him just now. He's much improved by all accounts, and I look forward to seeing him maybe as much as any other player on Thursday. We can tell his body's different. We've heard his conditioning and some of his work in the weight room was very serious in the offseason, and it sounds like he's a much different player and a much more player that maybe you can have some confidence in when he gets in the game this season as opposed to last year.
Yeah, you know, I think he has a chance. I mean, he's a way better to be like a Jimmy Thomas kind of player, a kind of guy who come in and play small forward, point guard, or two guard. He has, he's around 6'4", has nice length. He can play some point, but maybe not good enough to be full-time. He's improved his shot. We understand that besides Romeo and Juwan, that he was one of the other two guys who reached double figures in the scrimmage against Loyola. I think Justin Smith was the other one. And when I asked Archie who might be your third scorer in Chicago recently, or just 2 weeks ago, he spoke mostly about Justin Smith, but actually the first name out of his mind was, you know, Al can score. He has a really good slashing mentality to the basket, or really good at getting to the basket left-handed, which helps a little bit. So he's gotten stronger. He was a little bit too weak last year. So I think he's a guy that may not start, but could also, you know, be a, kind of a third guard in some starting lineups. But he's definitely a guy I think will be in the rotation. I really would be surprised if he's not playing more minutes than he did last year.
Another player that got some airtime last night with Archie on his radio show, Deron Davis. He's been given full clearance to play 5-on-5. That came last week. Coach Miller said he played 10 minutes in the scrimmage against Loyola. I think one of the things to watch Thursday, how much he plays, how quickly he can get himself conditioning-wise, in shape-wise, to a point where to see what he can do, what he can contribute to this team. There obviously have been some changes, some additions in the offseason. We've discussed some of those things already. But I think Deron Davis, I'm curious to see when he gets back to a healthy condition, when he gets back to an in-shape condition, what type of role he's going to play on this team.
Yeah, I got the impression in talking to Archie about him in Chicago that he still needs to maybe shed a couple pounds, probably related to him not being able to put a lot of pressure on the leg or on the, you know, or towards Achilles. So you're going to be very conservative in what you do with the leg. So getting into game shape, getting his rhythm back, it's going to take a few weeks. But the fact that he played in the scrimmage, I think, was actually maybe the biggest news, in my opinion, coming out of Sunday, is that they felt comfortable enough to throwing him out there, and he's been cleared in the last week. So that, you know, that's, you know, he's got a long way to go defensively, and he has to be much better on the boards. But Deron is a tremendous low post scorer, a guy who's really comfortable with his back to the basket, and that can complement the rest of his team.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, is with us. Mike, one of the things, getting away from IU specifically here for just a moment, one of the things that Coach Miller discussed last night was the Big Ten Conference, the depth that the league had last season, maybe areas of improvement for the league. And he talked about each game is going to be difficult, and that's common to hear a coach say that about a conference, and it is. It's tough. You go on the road in the Big Ten Conference, we know it's tough, especially on the road. Coach Miller talked about how you want everybody in the conference to win until you get to Big Ten play and they play Indiana, because them winning, other teams winning in the conference, in this non-conference part of the season, even beyond that, helps the strength of schedule for Indiana. So it's kind of something different. You have rivals in the conference. You have rivals like Purdue that are part of the Big Ten Conference. But the more everybody wins now, the better it can be for Indiana and other Big Ten Conference teams as the season goes on and when we finally get to the point where we're talking about brackets in March.
Right. There's fewer
non-league games because of the 20-game schedule, and so they make them more precious in terms of what it means for your strength of schedule when you do end up playing the league teams. So you want them to do well. And it seems to be a pretty deep league, not maybe a top-heavy league like it has been before. So it's going to be – we did a power rankings today, and it wasn't easy to come up with the teams after the first two Michigan teams. So there's a lot of difficult games, and you want those games to mean a lot for your strength of schedule for the NCAA tournament, because we all know that last year was like the fewest Big Ten teams in really long time that got into the tournament. And so they're hoping that this 20-game schedule changes that.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, always with us on Tuesday. Mike Pegram, of course, Tuesdays. Jeff Rabjohns on Wednesdays. We'll talk with Matt Weaver about IU football later in the week. Mike, thanks for all the insight. The season is here by all intents and purposes, and, of course, it really begins on Thursday. Will be a lot of fun. Thanks for the chat.
All right, Matt. Talk to you next week.
That will wrap things up for this Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report. Don't forget, all of our programs are available as a podcast. We're on SoundCloud. It's a free app you can download. Also, point your browser directly to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. We're also on Apple Podcasts. Just type in the Hoosier Report. Leave us a rating and a review if you would. It'll help us reach others that might be interested in a radio show and podcast about IU basketball and Southern Indiana sports. And we'll be back tomorrow, as always, at 11 a.m. Jeff Rabjohns of Pegs.com will join us. We'll really dig into the IU-Southern Indiana matchup. Take a look at that, which is scheduled for Thursday. We'll also have Greg Mengelt with us. We'll talk Providence football playing for a sectional championship game. We'll talk some of the other local headlines in Southern Indiana sports. Have a great day. Check out the podcast if you missed anything. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 o'clock right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.